Do you wish healthy didn't have to be hard? What if there was another way? Well, there is. And it's the Jade Walkaway, where healthy is delicious, easy and exciting, and doesn't have to mean saying no to chocolate and red wine. Welcome back, everyone, to the Jade Walkaway. You're here with your qualified naturopath, Jade Walker. And today I have a very special guest who is also my lovely acupuncturist, which is Dr. Hannah Watson. So Hannah is a TCM doctor, which stands for Traditional Chinese Medicine, and acupuncturist at the Acupuncture Wellness Co in Newtown, Geelong. She specializes in fertility and women's health and has founded and directed clinics in both England and Australia. With the divine feminine in mind, today we will direct our focus towards a passion area we both share, which is endometriosis, fertility, and how this incredible modality supports these areas. And trust me, if you have no idea what TCM is or how acupuncture works, you will be in love by the end of this episode. Welcome, Hannah.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And I am so glad that I'm actually in person with Hannah today, because quite often we're doing interviews via, you know, the internet, and it's just so much better when we get to be in person, drink some herbal tea.
Yes.
And we are actually in Hannah's beautiful space at the moment, which is, just has the most beautiful energy. So first of all, though, before we dive into all the juicy stuff, I actually ask everyone that comes on this show the same two questions, because we're all about balance. I want to know a little bit about what your favorite things are. So the first question is, Hannah, what's your favorite healthy food or thing to do?
I would have to say probably yin yoga.
Oh, yes.
At the moment, I am just obsessed, and it is so relaxing. I just love the way that I feel when I leave every class. Yeah.
I love yin too. It's like one of those things where it sounds like excruciating, you know, like to sit in a stretch for so long, but it's actually the most nourishing thing, isn't it? Just even my husband loves it, which is great.
So beautiful.
So on the flip side of that, you know, a bit of yin and yang in everyone's life, what's your favorite indulgence? Be honest.
Probably chocolate.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorites?
I really like Pico.
Yes.
Which is a beautiful, I think it's organic, fair trade one. That there's like one with like salted caramel in it. So that is definitely my secret indulgence at the moment.
100% agree with that. I love that one too. I love anything salted, to be honest. Do you like salt?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm good. Salt fiend.
Yeah.
Okay, so to dive in a little bit more and understand what got you here today, what is it that drew you to traditional Chinese medicine?
So I was about 21 at the time. I was experiencing pretty horrendous cycles. So I would be, at the time I was doing office work, and a couple of occasions my co-workers found me in the bathroom on the floor, kind of fetal position, in and out of hot and cold sweats. They were telling me that I was trying to hit my head against things. And I think I remember doing that to try to distract me from how much pain I was actually in. They would try to talk to me, but I was incoherent and I don't remember any of it. And they would call my family or friends and get them to come pick me up, take me home, put me to bed. After a while, I would pass out from pain. And then I would wake up a couple of hours later and not recall how I got there. Or what had happened. The probably even more so than the pain was the mortification of not understanding what I'd look like to these other people, and them having all seen me in such a vulnerable position. And then one of the colleagues that I had down there was, she gave me a business card for Chinese medicine. And at that stage, I'd already been to the doctors. And prior to doing any investigations, they told me I was definitely infertile and probably had cancer, but they'd run further checks, which all revealed that I was actually fine. There wasn't anything identifiable with their tests. So after a long weekend of stressing myself out and thinking, okay, I won't have children and I'm probably really sick. They told me that I was fine. And then I thought, well, acupuncture can't be any worse than what I've already gone through. Mm-hmm. So I sought out an acupuncturist and started having it. And it was only really gradual. I started to notice, okay, I come out feeling calmer. I come out feeling a bit slower. I feel more chilled, more patient. And bit by bit, my cycles got more regular. The pain started to ease up. And then I started looking not only at myself, but around the whole clinic. These women were coming in and leaving with rounded tummies. There was pictures of babies all over the walls. I was thinking, okay, there's something more to this. I need to know more. Mm-hmm. But the more that I asked, I wasn't satisfied. So I kind of, as I call it, jumped down the rabbit hole of Chinese medicine, went and signed up for the course and studied it pretty intensely for 4 years up in Melbourne.
Wow.
So that was my journey into it. And then from uni, then I worked in a women's health clinic and also got headhunted out of uni for an IVF clinic up in Melbourne. So I did those intensely until it came time to move to the UK. And then I moved over there and set up my own business. In England.
Wow. What drew you to England?
I was drawn over there for like a relationship. And then I didn't really know anyone else there. So it was probably the hardest business decision you could ever do. Mm-hmm. Doing acupuncture in a country that doesn't really support it as much as they do in Australia. And doing it without knowing anyone or knowing where you were going.
Wow.
And that was my first intro into
business,
starting a business. Yeah. So looking back on it now, it was like, wow, I chose the hard way, but I also feel like I chose the interesting way as well, because it opened me up to such an intense learning curve. And then when I was there, then went to Wales and found the guy who wrote the book on cosmetic acupuncture and trained under him and worked with these amazing IVF clinics over there and specialists over there that were doing incredible research with acupuncture. So it was fun. It was interesting.
Wow. How long were you there?
4.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And made the move back home.
Yeah. Made the move back home and absolutely love it. Wow. Love it back here. This is so chill.
Yeah.
Much more simplified life than what I was doing in the UK.
Yeah. Any reason why Geelong?
I grew up here and my family are here. Yeah. Awesome. And that's a huge part of my life. I love being around them. So that's really good.
And going back to, you know, when you had those health challenges earlier on, did acupuncture give you answers to what was actually happening?
Yes. And it was when I got further and further into study that I was like, light bulb moments were just going off left, right and center. And you'd be sitting in class being like, oh my God, this is so me, what they're talking about. This is me. They're literally telling my life story. So no, it was great. And yes, absolutely kind of. There's so many different patterns created in Chinese medicine that we're always looking and analysing with everyone. So obviously, like to me, it's really resonated so strongly, hence why I'm like so passionate about it now. And so many little things that I was like, oh my gosh, of course the emotions manifest physically. Of course there's a place for them in the body, and you can read it so much into people, and I adore that. I think that's so pivotal and something that's not given enough weight in health often. It's just, oh, I feel sad or I feel happy, but there's so much more than that the body's trying to show you.
Yeah.
So I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I relate with that so much with sitting in class and those light bulbs going off and you're just like, how did no one tell me this? My gosh.
Yeah.
And, you know, same with my whole endo journey. I suspected it for a while when I would do the Google search when I was like, you know, 17 years old, and then went through a laparoscopy. They said nothing was found, would go to doctors constantly, and it was just the same old, like, here's the pill, here's the painkillers, that was it.
Yeah.
And then when I went through my degree, like, it was just like endo, like that is what my symptoms kept pointing towards. And that's when you just have to become your own advocate in the end, like, you just, especially with these kind of conditions, there's just, it's really hard for women to really find answers unless they go out and really dive for them themselves.
Yeah. And this is where we're so lucky that we've got this knowledge that we can actually help ourselves, but also tenfold, like help other people. So as soon as clients come in that have endo, my passion is like on fire because I'm like, oh my gosh, we need to fix this for you. You can't go through this. Because I kind of understand what they're going through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also resonate with what you were saying earlier about when you first tried acupuncture. And from my experience from seeing you, you know, initially it's like, yeah, I feel really relaxed. Yeah, I feel really floaty, a little bit mildly stoned.
Yes.
And even that in itself, you know, we all need a bit of that. We all need a big dose of that. But it's those subtle changes that start to build up over time. Yeah. And that is actually something I wanted to highlight a little bit later on about how does acupuncture work. And it's there are things that can be quick fixes and then there are also things that will happen long term that will be so sustainable. But before we do get into that, I want to know what your definition of traditional Chinese medicine is.
Jeez. So traditional Chinese medicine is the use of acupuncture and Chinese herbal medicine to create change and optimize health and energy flow within the body. So we're often talking about qi, which is loosely translated to energy. It is a source that moves throughout the body and it has the ability to give us energy, free flow, great moods, stability, or stagnate, be insufficient, and also can get blocked up and be centered around pain as well. So we use meridians, which I talked about a fair bit now. I think a fair few people are aware of like channels and meridians, and you can really feel them. Like you hit your funny bone and you'll feel it shoot down your arm, or you can press on key acupressure points and you'll feel it shoot from your hand back up into your shoulder. And it's these little meridians that we're working with all the time and picking apart, okay, where's energy blocked, where does it need to be moved, where is there too much, where is there not enough. And that's where we work and help to just guide the body's energy so gently. There's an undercurrent there that the body has an integral intelligence and it's always trying to heal itself. And I feel like I'm just a shepherd kind of guiding it gently back into optimal balance, I guess. Yeah.
That must be the most eloquent way that I've heard someone explain it. I love that. And with qi and meridians, to the layperson that's never heard that before, it sounds quite woo-woo to someone, right? And what I personally do not, you know, I have a basic understanding, but what I often explain to people is, in my opinion, it's just another way to explain something that we actually do know, even scientifically, but it's just another way of explaining it. So what do you say to people when they say to you, I don't get it, it doesn't make sense to me? And knowing that you are, you know, you do really look into the research quite deeply, how can you translate that scientifically to people?
The Western medical insights and the research findings that are coming out about acupuncture and Chinese herbs are hugely insightful. And there's almost vague parallels that you can make between things like yin and estrogen. So it's like it's a really loose translation, but it's a way that they can get to understand, and like yang would be more like your testosterone and more like your yang, like your male qualities to you. So there's this beautiful integral balance that's there even in Western medicine, and this is what we've been talking about for centuries in Chinese medicine as well, that the yin and yang need to be in balance in order for there to be like beautiful health and harmony. As Western medicine and science research gets more progressive with how much detail they can see pre and post acupuncture, then we're finding things like slow breathing rate, heart rate, they all tend to slow down during your acupuncture treatment. So they found now that when you have acupuncture that your cortisol levels actually slow down, so the production and the release of it. So the acupuncture is actually communicating with your nervous system to tell it that you're safe, that you're able to relax, and that you can slow down. So this is switching off all of those stress responses that are a huge contributor to so many illnesses. Mm. And when you do that, my gosh, that's a huge piece of the puzzle that we're already working with. Then we're working with adding in different modalities there. We do cupping and Moxa, and then we're really working with the individual past that. But as a baseline, that's what you're going to get from your acupuncture treatment, is like this absolute blissful calm and de-stressed and feeling a lot more balanced, which is such a beautiful feeling.
Yeah, and that is just it, isn't it? You know, people often, they come in with this manifestation of several problems.
Yeah.
And they want the pills and they want the prescriptions, but unless you take away that stress, unless you lower that cortisol and that sympathetic nervous system dominance, they're just not going to get completely better. And that's what I definitely have noticed has been the biggest take home from acupuncture, is it keeps reminding me to slow down.
Yeah.
And you truly do feel it after coming out.
And you'll get huge insights when you're laying there. Thinking that you're not doing much and you're not being very productive, but it's like a yin yoga thing. Yeah. Like when you come out of there, it's like, my gosh, why don't I do this more? It's so realigning and grounding, and then like we have this perfect clarity when we come out of it. It's just beautiful. And I think this is what keeps me doing what I do, is seeing that after effect of the acupuncture, that beautiful calm. Mm-hmm. I just know that that person is going to go back out into the world a little bit more patient, a little bit more grounded, a little bit happier, more balanced within themselves. And that might just mean that they smile at one more person that day. It might mean that that person who cuts them off in traffic, they just don't blow up at them. They just graciously let them through. Then they're nicer to their children, their partner, their family, their friends, and that ripple effect goes out. And then there's more calm in the world. And that's really why I do
that's
what I do.
That's huge. And that's another thing I've noticed too, is that ripple effect. And you know, I often feel myself, I come in here, I feel frantic, I'm a bit wired, and I'm just like, so did I do this, I did that. Yeah. And then like after the session, you're coming, you're like, how are you, darling?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, everyone's just zen. Yeah. Yeah.
Although, you know, like you said, you can work through things while you're laying there. And like for me, say yesterday when I came in, I was in that mode where I did have a lot of things to work with. And at first I felt like I was fighting restlessness and that I couldn't switch off, but I actually had to sit with that and think, okay, this is actually a time for me to work through these things that are coming through.
Yeah.
And that's really healing as well. And, you know, I think it really just spreads into so many facets of life. It can make you a better business owner. It can make you a better wife. It actually can make your husband better to you, like, because, and I've noticed that it's almost like my husband's getting acupuncture and he's not, because I've actually noticed the way that we're communicating is better.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Yeah. It's just phenomenal.
Because even taking yourself out of it, giving yourself more time and filling your cup up, it's like your reaction to people around you is just so much more chilled.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So let's talk about endometriosis and how TCM views that condition.
Yeah. So traditional Chinese medicine always breaks down the individual. So they're looking really, really thoroughly, as you would know, at the different aspects of the person. So how's your digestive system? How's your sleep patterns? What's your emotional moods like? Are there any tendencies towards certain types of food? How's the period? Is it late? Is it long? Is it heavy? Are there clots? Like, we are going into everything with each client, because we have a general consensus that no one is exactly the same, which I really love, because I don't believe that we are. Even two girls can walk in with endo, two girls can walk in with migraines, and I will treat them completely differently according to their pattern and how their body's presenting. Mm. So we always look at the individual, break it down from there. Often it will be due to like a stasis, so a blood and chi stasis in the lower jiao. So a jiao is like a third of the body. So we're really focusing in on the reproductive organs. And when you think about endo, for those of you who might have seen pictures of what it is like, they often refer to like chocolatey cysts and accumulations of endometrial tissue throughout the body, but mostly in the lower abdomen. And that is what Chinese medicine always spoke about. They're always talking about qi and blood stasis. So there's a stagnant energy there. The qi in the blood has got stuck and our focus is to move it. Sometimes there will be signs of cold as well. So we'll be adding in like our beautiful moxa tool. For those of you who haven't seen this, this is like big cigar stick, I guess it looks like. And we light it like it's incense and it slowly embers away. We hold the tool over certain points. To facilitate different things. Sometimes we're doing it to stimulate the immune system, to increase energy, or in a lot of cases with endo, I'm using it on the lower abdomen to not only warm them, but it has this beautiful natural anti-spasmodic effect on the uterus. So it's actually relaxing and calming and settling down the cramping that a lot of girls experience. So some of these girls that I've seen, I've even trained them up and gotten to take it home and administer it themselves because their cramps are just so severe and they are just obsessed with moxa. It's like their favourite thing because the warmth and that relaxation that they get from it, the pain relief is just amazing. So Chinese medicine will often look at, the lower abdomen, but look at the whole picture as well because people might present differently. It's often down to like a qi and blood stasis. So things have got accumulated, got stuck. And they say that when the qi gets stuck, that's when pain is created. So our aim is always free flow of qi. So energy flows really evenly right throughout the whole body. And that's what we're trying to achieve and clear so that there isn't this pain and this stasis.
And explain more about the thermals with the cold kind of thing. You know, that's something that I love about TCM.
Yeah. This was another light bulb moment for me as well at uni because I was always freezing, hands and cold, like numb, always so cold. And no one ever really seemed to talk about it. There was Raynaud's, I was aware of that. But beyond that, there was no differentiation with people. And it was, Chinese medicine acknowledges that different people are different thermal natures. Mm-hmm. So very stereotypical here, I'm just generalizing, but generally males being more yang often will be warmer. So often when I'm treating clients, they're talking about their partner saying, oh, I put my feet on him to warm up and he pushes me away. Oh. Yeah. So it's like she's very yin, quite cool, and he's yang, quite hot. So I take a lot of note of that and put a lot of importance on the thermal nature of the person that we're treating. So you would know I keep my treatment rooms really cozy and warm, and then my beautiful heat lamp gets used a lot because that warmth relaxes them, but it also helps to move qi and blood. So when you add warmth to someone, it's like they've got more energy, they've got more vibrancy, they're warmer, they can move more. Whereas if you put someone in a really cold environment, they're going to cramp up, they're going to start moving less and feel really restricted and also get really tense. Mm-hmm. So we need to look at the person as well. Some of the girls will present with heat, and in which case we treat them differently and don't tend towards so much the warmth. And this is even more so with herbs as well. When you're dealing with Chinese medicine, you've got to really think through what herbs you're doing and their thermal nature as well.
Because that's one thing I thought was really cool with the herbs that you prescribed to me was called right returning formula. And I was like, what does that mean? And that's when you explained to me that it was returning more yang. So I think that's really cool that you look at it in that way rather than like, you know, this herb does this, this herb does this. It's more about what are we actually doing as a whole. And, obviously with the yin you were talking about earlier, it's more of like an estrogenic kind of presentation. Yeah. It's more cold. And for me, definitely, the cold hands and feet, all that kind of stuff. And since I've been taking that yang formula, as you know, there's just been so many changes. Like, my libido is better, more energy. I've definitely noticed like my hands are pretty much fine now and my feet are definitely getting warmer. Just so much. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So cool. So what are some of the key things that you find in women that when they come in that are just the key problems that you see time and time again?
There are a lot that almost aren't spoken about.
Mm-hmm. Let's speak about them now.
Bowel changes with cycle. Mm-hmm. So slowing before the period, and then when the period starts, it's almost like an evacuation. Yeah. And this is like so unspoken about, but when you get them into a consult, it's like, yeah, you do experience that. Clotting with the period, that often isn't really asked of them before they get to acupuncture. So if there's clots coming up with the cycle, so dark kind of fragments of blood, sometimes it's more like fibrous little strands that come out. But I mean, I've seen girls up to like the size of a dinner plate size clots coming out, and it's just so horrendous. So they come out a lot of bloating and things that they won't think is relevant. Oh no, I just like, that's just normal. That's just part of my patterning to always have a headache like 2 days before my period, or oh no, night sweating's just like, it's always been my thing. That's how I sleep. I'm like, there's so many little things. And even like, as we would both know, like with endo, that's just the way that my period is. Like, that's what we get told so often, like push it to the side, just take some Panadol, you'll be fine. And pain is probably the thing that I guess I get campaigning about, that they shouldn't have to suffer through this and they shouldn't have to experience that every month. And that's, it may be normal for them, but it shouldn't have to be their normal.
Oh, I could not agree more. That just speaks to everything that I'm about as well, especially that it's funny when I ask women in consult, how are your periods? Like, that'll be the first general conversation before you get into the nitty gritty. And they're like, oh yeah, pretty good. Yeah. You know, like, I don't get pain anymore. And I'll be like, why? And they're like, oh, I just take like Naprogesic now. So they don't even like know what they're masking anymore either. Or they will be like, oh yeah, I don't get pain anymore. I haven't had it for years because I'm on the pill or something like that. So they've just completely switched off everything. And likewise with the clotting, the bloating, the bowel changes, the PMS, to the point where they're crying, or depression, significant depression right before that period, or anxiety and things like that. And I know for me, for sure, I used to be that real emotional person before my periods when I was younger. And I would be so, I'm a savory tooth, but it was always that week before period that I would want chocolate, and I would actually cry if I couldn't have chocolate. And everyone would just palm it off as, oh, it's just PMS, oh, you're just hormonal. And it's like, yeah, but that's not normal.
Yeah,
100%. So moving into more the area of fertility now, because this is an area that you strongly focus on as well, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, endo and fertility go quite hand in hand. Obviously, there is a certain amount of women with endometriosis that may have more challenges with falling pregnant. But what we do know as well is that sometimes women are told, oh, you'll struggle to fall pregnant, but no one's ever even bothered to investigate what is going on there. And quite often there can be some things that can be corrected to help with fertility. So what are some of the reasons you find women might be struggling to fall pregnant?
There is so much array of different things that come in. From kind of a Western medical perspective, they'll often present PCOS and ovulation, so no ovulation. It could be that their cycles are really irregular. They may, I will frequently see girls coming off the pill and then not experiencing any period for up to 12, 18 months afterwards. Endo is another one that comes in a lot. And a lot of the time they'll come in and say unexplained, which is fine, because that just means Western medicine doesn't have a definition for that yet. But in our viewpoint from Chinese medicine, then I'm doing what I always do. So analyze the whole person. Where are they going? What's happening? Where is the energy stuck? Where do they need more nourishment? Where in this person's life do we just need to make really simple lifestyle changes that they can just integrate themselves at home? The simplest things, even just having breakfast every day. The number of times I have to have that conversation with people in a week is amazing. And then what they report back, oh, wow, like I've got so much energy. I don't have this huge like crash at 2-3 p.m. in the afternoon and needing heaps of sugar. So now I feel really good. My mood's way more balanced. So it can be a whole array of different things that people come in for. But yeah, we're always just pulling apart the person and figuring out where they need work. And it could be maybe we need to work really integrally with ovulation time, make sure that ovulation's happening really clearly. There's plenty of cervical mucus. Or it could be more working with anti-inflammatory work around the lower abdomen, creating like a more stable environment, more welcoming environment.
Let's unpack breakfast for a moment because the amount of women I see that are skipping breakfast or doing fasting, and I'm definitely a fan of some form of fasting. I think there, on the flip side, there are some people who are just not allowing enough time like overnight between, you know, the last time they ate breakfast. But then a lot of women I see is the opposite. They're like, oh, I fast until lunchtime.
Yeah.
And it's, but yet they have low energy, like low brain power, and their bowels are sluggish. You know, in your opinion, why is it important to have breakfast?
Goodness me. Chinese medicine. Obsessed with breakfast.
Yeah, right.
And I played around with this myself as well, because I think that you're your own best test bunny to see what works for you before you start dishing out advice to other people.
Totally.
Breakfast is so integral. So they believe that it's like the most important food of the day. If you are putting food into your body, then you're asking your digestive system to basically wake up and start working.
Mm-hmm.
Your digestive system is there to receive the food and then turn that into chi and blood. Without that, without giving your body any energy, and yet you're waking up, you're dealing with your phone, your kids are crying, all right, we've got to get them ready for school, then I've got to get myself ready, husband needs to talk to me, now I've got to make food quickly, jump in the car, drive to work, see that coworker, get into my desk, do all these emails, answer these questions, make these big decisions, do that presentation, and you haven't given your body anything yet. It's not really fair.
Mm-hmm.
So they believe that the chi of the spleen, which is the digestive organ that we talk about probably the most in Chinese medicine. So spleen needs to be fed and nourished regularly. So breakfast, lunch, dinner, if you want a snack in between, that's fine. But when you do this, you create this beautiful energy and nourishment to the body that is steady and stable, and that's going to be reflected in your moods and your energy, that creates this beautiful balance. So it's, yeah, they'll often report back, yeah, wow, like I don't feel as bloated, I'm not getting these sugar cravings, but then I'm eating healthier, my bowels are moving better, it's more regular. It's really, really integral to just start the day with breakfast, just get up 10 minutes earlier.
Yeah, that's it, right? And, you know, I love breakfast. It is like probably the meal of the day that has the most recipes that I've ever created. Like, I'm like, how many ways can you do X, you know? And a lot of people say to me, oh, but you like make, you obviously have time to make these fancy meals. I'm like, dude, I've got these back in bacon and eggs down to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah,
it's actually really easy.
Yeah.
So people just need to learn how to do it. So, but what are some of the meals that TCM would, what are some of the breakfasts that would, you know, tradition, that is real traditional breakfast you would see in TCM? Are there any recommendations?
So Chinese medicine focuses well on the thermal nature of foods, as well as the thermal properties like of people. So even with our nutrition, we're looking at what's warming, what's cooling, and what are you doing with your diet to change the patterns that you have got. So for instance, I'm pretty cold, so I'll go way more towards warming foods because I'm trying to treat my own patterns. So even things like guazhous, like we use that all the time, which is just cinnamon. So that would be like a herb that I use quite a lot. And you can so easily incorporate that into a beautiful warming porridge. And I'll often use quinoa instead of using traditional oats, just because I prefer that. But you can even put in like honey and stuff into that and make it really sweet and nice. But just as much I'll go towards, like poached eggs on toast with avocado. It's so simple. It's so Australian. But that is still warming and giving you such a good start to the day. But where yeah, Chinese medicine is very much focused on giving your body warmth. So your internal thermal nature is of sitting at about 36, 37 degrees. So if we're going to jump into food and have breakfast, if we're putting in something that's 6, 7 degrees, your body is then using its energy to warm up that food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a waste. If we could just have some porridge and then your body's instantly kind of integrating that and turning it into chi, as opposed to using its energy to warm up the food before it can even extract nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
So warming, beautiful breakfast is key, but you can always start with tea and stuff before that, which I often do.
And so no salads in the winter.
Don't even talk to me. No,
I just saw the blood like in your face. Winter.
Well, if it's got warmed, so often the veggies and stuff will be roasted and integrated, and then we're putting in warming stuff around it. But no, you won't really catch me eating cold food.
I really feel sorry for people that are going on a health kick, and you know, I see it with like some women who I know are trying to lose weight, and they're like, I'm going to try and do the right thing, and they're having these salads in winter time, and I just really feel for them that they haven't been educated properly in even, you know, how to really go on that health journey properly. But also that having, like, even if you are going to have a salad, make it interesting. You know, when they just have like lettuce, chopped carrots and some cherry tomatoes and there's not even any protein in there, and you just feel sorry for them. I'm like, no wonder you don't want to stick to that, because that is boring.
Yeah,
and it's just not supportive of the body either.
Yeah we need to be in love with our food, in love with what we're eating, and actually enjoy it. Like, I'm always saying that to my girls, just make sure whatever you do with breakfast, you enjoy it. Like, go out there, go to the health food shops, pick something that excites you and looks amazing, or Google recipes that you think, oh my gosh, wow, yeah, that sounds so good, and fall in love with it and make it your own, and then do little twists and stuff with it, add different things so that you enjoy it, because that's what this is all about.
Yeah, 100%. And one more thing on the thermals, what are your thoughts on cold showers?
Who has cold showers?
Oh, everyone these days.
Why is this weight loss or
energy? Look, there definitely is some good research in it with the these cold shock proteins, which apparently get activated, and they're really good for your immune system. So it is quite a craze at the moment. Well, craze is not the right word, because there is science behind it. But have you heard of Wim Hof?
Mm.
Yeah, so obviously it's very much a Wim Hof movement. And then there's like Ben Greenfield as well. He's like a biohacker. He's just like big biohacker guru. And he's all about the cold showers. And so like the whole idea is that you have a cold shower every morning, and you also can't react to the cold. Like, you've got to teach yourself to just get in there and just enjoy it. But for me, I'm just like, hell no. Like, that's just, it's so full on. And then I also think of it from like everything that we're doing, and you're trying to warm me up. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I wonder what Hannah thinks the cold showers. But I do also think there's a lot of men who are doing them. So I think maybe when we look at the yin and yang again, with men being much more warmer beings most of the time, that they can do that more than women could.
They probably wouldn't react as badly. But, oh my gosh, it's such a shock to the system. I didn't even know that this was a thing.
Really? Yeah. Oh, it's probably the podcast I listen to.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of like biohacking and health podcasts.
To me, it feels like, my gosh, that's going to consume a lot of energy and a lot of yang. Mm-hmm. So although it will stimulate, blood flow, like get you pumping, make you feel really refreshed and revived and ready to go take on the world, run up those rocky steps and pump my arms.
Yeah.
The long-term effect of constantly draining your yang each morning, I don't know, it sounds a bit like robbery, but I think
it's individual, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I know some women who do it and they swear by it and they absolutely love it, but I just feel like for me, especially with everything we're working on, just no. Yeah. I can imagine you coming around and giving me a tap on the head.
So would I pull you out of there. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Turn on that hot tap.
Yeah, totally. But there is the science behind it is actually quite fascinating with it. These cold shock proteins that apparently get switched on and they stimulate your immune system.
Yeah.
So there is something to it, but maybe just not for everyone.
Yeah.
So who knows?
There's also massive research showing that a certain acupuncture point will stimulate your immune system really well. If cool. It's acupuncture and moxa, so we can also just do that.
Yeah, let's just do that. I would much prefer my warm showers in the morning and just get a little like acupressure point. Actually, that just reminded me of what do you call it again when you put those little
electrodes. Yeah. Electroacupuncture. Yeah.
That is so cool. So I'm going to say the layman's term and then you're going to explain it. So basically, so I've had this done where Hannah will put acupuncture needles, say like on my lower abdominal area, and then she'll connect these little tiny little clamps to them with these little electrode wiry things. And if anyone's ever felt a TENS machine, it's like 0.01% of what that feels like. They just feel this tiny, tiny little fuzzy feeling.
Yeah.
So tell us, what is that doing as opposed to just general acupuncture?
Yeah, so electroacupuncture is a really beautiful treatment. So it feels, the Chinese always used to say that it feels like a little bird pecking because they often use nature in their reflections. So this is designed to stimulate qi and blood flow and really get your body's energy to focus on that one key area. Mm-hmm. So you will often find that I'll only do it on one area.
Mm-hmm.
With some people I've been doing it more musculoskeletal stuff with like really injured knees. So then we'll be doing points around it and then electro around the knee. But often, yeah, I'll be doing it lower abdomen. So this is really beautiful. I do it a lot with stimulating that qi and blood that we were talking about earlier, how it has that tendency to get stuck. So this is creating a lot of movement. When we do a treatment, we're often doing acupuncture to a couple of different areas of your body, maybe some in your wrist, legs, lower abdomen, and your body can get quite distracted. So the electroacupuncture brings your body's focus back to that one area over and over again because it's that intermittent pulse. The machines that we use, the electroacupuncture machine, is a really measured, precise way that we can administer that strength and the frequency to you, but also replicate with research. So I'm often looking at scientific studies and they will often use electroacupuncture. I've seen it used over the ovaries and they've changed from being like really cloudy, foggy in an ultrasound. You can hardly make out like the outline. And then after the electroacupuncture, it's like iridescent clear. You can see this clear definition around the outside and then the inside of the ovary. So it's a beautiful way of bringing in that body's energy flow through that area. And say, for instance, if a girl was presenting with polycystic ovarian syndrome, so the excessive accumulation of underdeveloped follicles in the ovary, this kind of treatment is really going to focus your body's energy on clearing up those underdeveloped cysts. So they're a natural part of your body and they will be reabsorbed back into the body if given the opportunity. So this is where electroacupuncture can just be incredible.
That's it. I'm studying acupuncture.
I knew we would treat you eventually.
Yeah. It's just phenomenal. And this is what I love too, because I'm a very evidence-based person and I love that there actually is a lot of evidence in acupuncture and a lot of people don't realise that.
Yeah.
They're very quick to, you know, and when I say they, to be honest, it's not really my circle. Like anyone in my circle is like, yeah, I love acupuncture. Yeah. but when I say they, I refer to just the general person walking down the street, you know?
Yeah. Like I had someone come up to me at a family gathering actually and say to me, what are you doing now? And I said, acupuncture, like Chinese medicine. And they said, oh, that's like proper woo-woo, like witch stuff, like witchcraft. Is that legal now? And I was like, oh my gosh, it's
legal now.
So, yeah, I totally get it. It is so not normal, but this is, I think, why I dedicate so much time to looking at research and looking at the science and what that's doing, because this is so much more easily understood and easily translated for people to understand. Now, if I'm talking in terms of, oh, your large intestine chi is, it has cold in it, and people be like, what? Whereas if I say to them, okay, we need to get your bowels moving, we're going to warm you up, and I want you to stop eating so much ice cream, and we can kind of, like, you can make much more sense out of it than just approaching it from, yeah, you've got damp and cold stuck in your ovaries, as opposed to saying, okay, we've got polycystic ovarian syndrome, however, we're going to get your body to reabsorb the cysts and clear it up, and we'll get your cycle more regular.
Yeah.
Like, there's much easier ways of translating it into Western medical terminology that's there, that's proven. And then people can go, oh yeah, I kind of get what she's doing. It's like, I've got too much estrogen, so I need to clear that, and we're going to do more detoxification work. That makes more sense than saying like an excessive yin or yang deficiency.
Totally.
So this is why I think I look at that a lot, and because it's so reaffirming and it gives me beautiful insight, especially into herbs and things like that, like what they're doing and anti-inflammatory effects, like anti-nausea, anti-emetic, like it's just amazing the stuff that they can pull out of it now.
Oh, absolutely. And then with that said, there are some things that, you know, we don't even really need evidence to know. Yeah. Like we're seeing these things happen, and there are also so many things that I often try to explain to people, just because there's no research doesn't mean it doesn't work. It's just that we don't have the research for it yet.
Yeah.
No research is different to proven ineffective, you know. But yeah, it's amazing. One thing I did want to bring up is a lot of people think acupuncture, needles, oh my god, no. But it's how, like, can you compare the size of those needles to anything? Like, how thin are they?
I should look at a box and read you out the measurements of what they are. So they're absolutely tiny, really, really fine.
Like, I don't even notice it now. No. It's funny, I was thinking this yesterday, actually, because I remember when I first came in, I've had acupuncture before, but it was a while ago, and it was at the student clinic, so they were still kind of practicing, and there was a little bit of, like, you know, it was a bit weird. But anyway, so the first time when I came in to see you, I was a little bit nervous, and there was only, you know, a little bit of a prick, and that was it. It was fine. But now, like, I realize I wouldn't even know that you've done it. I really don't know at all. It's actually insane how crazy that is.
I did acupuncture a lot to myself, and still do, in order to make sure that I'm giving my clients, like, the most minimal sensation as I can. I don't really like people to be too aware of it. I think that the whole situation of coming in here in the first place can be pretty unnerving. And I see a lot of absolute, like, self-confessed needle phobes. I've had about three just this week. But they all leave so chilled and so calm, and it's just getting them on the table. And then you do the first one, you say to them, how is that? Did you put one in? That is the response that I get the most.
That's awesome.
So it's really, really subtle. I think that our exposure to needles up front are big, scary, they're painful, and it's not the most calm of settings that they're done in. And this is why I think I really set up Acupuncture Wellness Co. with a lot of thought behind it, into how can we make the most relaxing space possible for these people to receive their treatments. Everything from, like, lighting to music to, like, the surrounds and what you're going to be looking at while you're laying there. But, yeah, absolutely, we try and do the least sensation possible and just really calming. But, yeah, most people don't even really feel it.
Not at all.
No.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So another area I did want to touch on as well is IVF and how amazing acupuncture is for IVF. And we do know in the research that it has been shown to improve egg transfer and that kind of thing. So can you tell us about how amazing it is for IVF?
So acupuncture has been proven to be really helpful alongside IVF. The research articles go from saying maybe 50% up to about 80% increased success rates when acupuncture is administered both before and after embryo transfer. However, that result is enhanced further when they also receive acupuncture during stimulation phase. So basically when girls are contacting me saying, when should I come and see you? I'm like, as soon as possible. Mm. We need to get working with you as you are and then help you changing some patterns and basically creating beautiful harmony before we're going through transfer. Mm. But there's research as well saying like even with the endometrial lining thickness, so they have shown now that the thickness of the lining of the uterus is trilaminar, so three layers, and they're now finding that the success rate of a transfer is enhanced the thicker the endometrial lining, irregardless of the woman's age or the quality of the embryo. Mm-hmm. So lining thickness is really, really important, is what the research is showing. And acupuncture has been shown to increase like blood flow, pelvic blood flow, and calm down inflammation. So it's a beautiful way that we can integrate such a beautiful calming natural medicine into your IVF treatment. So yeah, and the girls that I treat just love it. They love coming here and just having this full relaxation and time out before and after, and just yeah, and even discussing it. Like I see so many girls who haven't got friends who have gone through it. They don't really feel like they can talk to anyone because it is like another language that we're then dropping into. And it's a beautiful safe space for them to be able to discuss things and talk things through, and what does this mean, and why do they want to now do ICSI, and why am I on prednisolone this time instead of like last time we didn't do that. So I love being that support for them and helping them to know that they've got a team here, that they've got someone else has got their back, and that they're not alone in this. Yeah. So IVF is, I just love working with it. It's so beautiful, but the science there is amazing, and that's really, really strong, and it keeps on getting more and more proven. And yeah, like some of the IVF clinics in Melbourne now have introduced acupuncturists into the clinic. So they're now doing pre and post transfers because this is how evidence-based all of this is. And I got to work with a lot of, IVF clinics in England as well. It was amazing. And they were all, like even referring to acupuncture on their websites and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's really the scientific research. I'm so grateful that people are out there actually doing that because it's really backing up what we believe, and it's helping so many women.
100%.
And if nothing else, they're coming out of it so calm. Mm-hmm. So that can only be a good thing when you're going through such a treatment. Yeah,
absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. I think especially IVF, naturally, a lot of women, there's guilt and shame and all these different things that some women may experience, not all of them. But I really want to bring more awareness to IVF because especially with endometriosis or other barriers to fertility, there are just so many more reasons why, even today, why women may need to access IVF.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's even something that my husband and I are starting to look at, in case that might be something that we need to go down. And I've really enjoyed starting to learn about that whole process because I understand now, one, what my clients are going through, and two, I can communicate that with them better. And like you said, it is a very lonely thing to go through because it's not something that all your friends are going through, you know. It's like, who do I talk to about this? No one understands what these terms mean and all that kind of stuff. And I think also other people that haven't been through it, they just simply think it's just like, you know, like an injection here, 10 grand there, and that it's done, you know. But there's just so much more to it than that. So I really think it's amazing, people like yourself who are just supporting women with that.
I adore, love it. I just love working with them for that, and love them to know that they've got someone to whatever message, call, talk through stuff. That's really, really important to me. I think the whole creating of Acupuncture Wellness Co was for me to give women a safe space to be able to talk about everything, whether it's I get migraines in my period, or I haven't got a period, or my digestive system feels really wonky, or I'm not feeling right and I don't really know why, or I'm going through IVF and I need assistance, like anything, I want them to feel totally supported in here and like they've been listened to, not judged, and that we can also help say to them, okay, I think I know what's going on here. This is what your pattern looks like. This is what it's been created. This is how we're going to change it. How does that sound? And giving them a plan. Because then often that makes the world of difference, thinking, yep, okay, it's actually explainable and we can fix this and work on it. I think that came from my own journey when you're going through that much pain and being dismissed and being told such grand conclusions without even being tested yet, that I absolutely want to protect other women from going through that, and I don't ever want them to feel like alone or that they have to suffer or that there should be that much pain.
I could not agree more, and this is what I love about this whole integrative approach. You know, like, we're so lucky that we live in a time where we've got IVF and we've got incredible advanced trained excision surgeons, and then we've got TCM and we've got naturopathy, and we can work in this the most beautiful collaborative way.
Yeah.
And that is my mission, is to one day see us all just working together. There's no us and them. It's just like, this is our healthcare team.
Yeah.
This is the way that we work.
Yeah.
Be amazing.
Yeah.
So in general, what do you think are some of the most effective things that you see get the best outcomes?
Oh, my gosh, there's a lot, but I'll try and rein it in.
Specific.
Yeah. I think pain,
because
that really is probably the number one complaint that they're presenting with. I have endo and my pain is so massive I can't even get out of bed, or it's making me throw up, or I'm having to take days off of work because I feel so whacked by it and I'm so tired. Like, all of these little things that they just think is normal part of their cycle. So yeah, pain relief to me is huge. That's really, really important. But even the associated symptoms with it. One girl came in with like really, really bad breast distension and tenderness beforehand. Like, I can't even sleep. It's so painful. Like, I have to sit up. It's horrendous. And we did some work with her, and all of a sudden, next period, it was like, it wasn't even there. She was like, I do not know what you did with those herbs. And I was just stoked for her, because to alleviate one symptom out of her month, every single month, it means a lot to her. But it's down to the individual. So even if it was a migraine or a headache that they traditionally get every time, or every time they get bloating, or every time they have a fight with their partner, or they're or wanting heaps of chocolate. That's happened a lot. Like, oh, I just find myself in the chocolate aisle, and then I'm like, how are you going with your sugar cravings? Like, oh yeah, I haven't gotten in the house. I didn't even think about it. I'm like, great. So it's down to the individual and what they really want to focus on. But as long as there's changes and there's results there, then I'm pumped. That's my reward every day. Pain is a big one with endo. But obviously in the fertility game, it's more cycle regularity, ovulation, and then if there's a pregnancy, that's your win.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's amazing. Well, that would have to be the perfect way to round up this episode today. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on. But before you go, I do have two more questions for you that I ask everyone. And first of all, that would be, what would be your number one health hack that you would recommend that everyone can do?
I would say breakfast every single day. Honestly, I know we've already talked about this, but I can't stress it enough. And if you're already doing that, then try to be in bed by 10 p.m and no screens. That would be my other thing. There's plenty of research around it. They're particularly focusing on egg quality with this research, so fertility stuff, but they're finding that 10 p.m in bed, resting with no screens, you can still read a book, read a magazine, talk to your partner, do what you want to do, but without screen time, there creates a beautiful balance to your body, and my gosh, that sleep quality will be amazing for you.
I could not agree more. Absolutely. And the last one is, if you could change anything in the healthcare system, what would it be?
That no woman is ever told that she's infertile until it's like absolutely proven beyond any explanation that she could possibly have kids. that being told that at such a young age has completely rattled me, and I think taking me on a very different path in my life, which has been amazing, but it is so cruel and so so unfair to say that to anyone. Mm-hmm. And I've just seen too many girls that have been in my clinics here around the UK especially that have been told, oh, I've been, yeah, I can't have kids. Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just want to restore hope for those girls and help them so that that's not their journey. Mm-hmm. And that they don't have to buy into that.
Mm, I could not agree more, and I could probably add a whole another 10 minutes on that. Absolutely. So, Hannah, if people want to find you, work with you, be inspired by you, where can they find you?
So they can find me on Instagram. We are acupuncturewellness_co, and you can find me at the beautiful clinics that I have in Newtown. So we are at 2 Lambert Avenue, where Acupuncture Wellness Co's hub is, the hub of goodness and healing. and our website, acupuncturewellnessco.com.au.
Beautiful. And you have just taken on another acupuncturist.
Yes, beautiful. Exciting. Sophie. We have her in on Fridays, which is great. And she brings her a wealth of knowledge with her. And it's actually hilarious because we've followed each other through so many clinics in Melbourne as well, doing all women's health.
Wow.
And the IVF support clinic up there as well. So she is just amazing. And she's now bringing in her 5 elements acupuncture as well in here. So it's been really good.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I honestly cannot wait to get this one out because I think there's just going to be so many women that are going to be inspired by it. Yeah. So thank you.
Oh, so welcome. Anytime. Happy to chat.
Awesome.
What a beautiful episode. And how relaxing was the relaxation music in the background? You know, we actually were meant to turn that off and forgot, but I'm glad that we actually left that on because it was quite fitting for this episode. If you enjoyed this, as always, if you haven't already, please leave us a review. And if you can, give us 5 stars. This helps us to move this podcast up in the charts and get it seen by more people so that we can help other people become healthier and happier. And I always, always, always love seeing when you share your screenshot of the episode you're listening to and share it onto your Instagram or your Facebook. And let me know what you thought of today's episode. What did you like most? And what would you like to see in the future? I hope you have a good day. Bye for now.